as long as the sweat equity is there, if people willing to do the work, we can exist, I think.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, how one local small newsroom fights to survive. Well, across the nation, local news outlets are consolidating or outright shutting down because they've fallen on tough economic times. In Washington County, New York, a small paper that nearly went out of business 5 years ago is expanding. Formerly the Greenwich Journal and Salem Press, the paper has now split into two, the Greenwich Journal and the Salem Press. Editor and publisher Darren Johnson says since buying the paper in 2019 when its previous owner died, he's reimagined its purpose and audience. Johnson spoke with my colleague Sam Simmons.
In 1969, there were two newspapers. They were called the Greenwich Journal and the Salem Press. And they had existed for about almost an equal amount of time. They both were about, 100 and change years old at that point in time in 1969. And maybe one was approaching 100 years old and one was over 100 years old. And they'd been in business for a while. And people think newspapers having financial troubles is just a modern thing. But newspapers have always had financial trouble. And in the 1900s, it was common for newspapers to consolidate. So the Greenwich Journal and Salem Press in 1969 consolidated and became the Journal and Press. And they lasted that way through different owners and until I picked it up. I always felt like I live in Greenwich, and Greenwich has always dominated the conversation in the Journal and Press because more readers are from Greenwich. It's more of a commercial center than Salem, which is the other town in Washington County. And then we cover the little towns in between the two. I always felt like Salem, though, was getting a short shrift with the coverage. I can only do so much. You live in the town. Salem's kind of a hike. It's a little bit of a hike to get to from Greenwich. It's a little out of the way. It's not really a commercial center. I didn't really go there for any other reason. So I felt like they weren't getting the same coverage that Greenwich was, not even close. Greenwich was on the cover most of the time. So the switch to the Times Union printing plant, hung around the plant a little. You know, you have to get your hands dirty. A lot of people don't like the blue-collar aspect of newspaper work. And I think that's also another reason why a lot of newspapers are falling apart, because a lot of the newcomers to it don't want to do the blue-collar aspect of dealing with ink and dealing with paper and delivering that paper somehow, bundles and postal statements and things like that that are kind of old-timey. I saw that some of the papers at the Times Union were swapping out sections, and so I inquired, how much does it cost to swap out a section? And it wasn't a wild amount, you know, like they could do a stop the presses, swap out a section. A set of plates might be 8 pages. And so I said, you know, so that's one plate. So you have to pay for a new plate and you get 8 pages. So I was like, is it possible to swap out the first and last 8 pages and make the middle continuous and the same for both publications? And they said, yeah, we can do that. So I was like, all right, if I can swap the first page, that means I can do a different cover. I can do a different back cover. I can do different, you know, the first 4 pages, the last 4 pages are all one plate. So let's revisit this Salem Press thing. And my local library has the archives of the Salem Press, and it stops in 1969. And but it's not archived online. That's a major undertaking to archive online. The Greenwich Journal has been archived online. So I started meeting with people in Salem. I was like, hey, you know, what if we came out with the Salem Press again and we just separated out the papers? It wouldn't cost me that much more, and we could do a stop the presses, and maybe we can sell, maybe there's some advertisers that only want to be in the Salem paper, but we'd get some readership there. So they were into it, and we did a series of meetings over the summer, and September 1, we came out with an individual Salem Press with its own story, as they cover their own football team, their own stories there, their own town board meetings, and they have a group of volunteers that are helping get it out and write the stuff for it. And it allows us to, the other thing I did with the Journal and Press was I went from a weekly to biweekly print run just to save money because it was losing hemorrhaging money. And now we're actually kind of a weekly again, if you count the Salem Press as its own entity. The Salem Press, I really don't think we can do it as a paid circulation paper. So I kept the Greenwich Journal with the barcode, the postal regulations and all that. And the Salem Press is a free paper.
We kind of talked about what's important to your readers. You didn't think that maybe the Salem stuff was as important to the Greenwich one readers, or the Salem readers weren't getting enough out of it. So what do you think are the issues that are most important to your readers?
This region is sometimes it's informally called like the Battenkill Valley because these towns are along the Battenkill River for the most part. I also bought the domain name 29east.com because 29 is the highway that goes east from Greenwich to Salem. It touches Salem and then you take another road, but it goes through Cambridge, which is another town. For example, there's an election going on in one town and not the other, in Greenwich and not Salem. Greenwich has a village structure, Salem doesn't, and there's a town structure. There's a town election for town justice this year. We've gotten a lot of letters on it. We're doing some stories on it. I don't think the people in Salem are that interested in it. It's too far away from them. They don't care. They can't vote in it. So now I could just put those in the Greenwich Journal and the Salem people don't have to see them. Meanwhile, in the Salem paper, I can put something about, you know, their football team blew out someone 50-0, or they did a trunk or treat, you know, the Greenwich just had a Halloween parade yesterday. And so I could put that in the Greenwich Journal and the Salem people don't have to see that. So it allows us to be even more micro-local. And in a way, we invented a new newspaper. While every other newspaper is either contracting or going out of business, we're now two newspapers as opposed to one newspaper.
And you've also expanded into more of an online space. You use social media pretty well, and you have a weekly newsletter, or I think it's
a daily newsletter. Yeah,
daily newsletter. Why did you think that was important to get that out?
Yeah, so I kept the journal and press branding for the online aspect, because online I feel is regional, whereas print can be local. We have someone who writes a nature column in our area, and it's kind of, he used to work for actually Postar, but they've contracted so much that they didn't need his services anymore, but it's still a popular column, nature column. So in the online sphere, I did something I think also was interesting this summer. I guess I did a lot of stuff this summer. I separated out the two newspapers. I went to, every newspaper pretty much uses WordPress for their website or something like WordPress. I decided to use Substack. And Substack is something that individual journalists are using as a way to raise money for themselves. So if you previously worked for like CNN and you start your own Substack, your CNN people might give you money for subscription fees. It's mostly individual journalists. And they're usually on a political extreme, usually left, but sometimes there's some right-wing people maybe on Substack, but for the most part left. And they give opinions that are very strong. So Substack has been known as like this forum for people to write and to give their opinions. But journalists use it. Newspapers don't really use it, especially ones that try to run down the middle like we do. And so I was like, you know, this WordPress site is kind of boring. And I still use WordPress for Campus News, my other paper. And I am able to sell ads because that's a regional business. But for local papers, I thought Substack might be a way to go. It's a way to put in news that happens on a more breaking basis. And people will subscribe and they'll pay for that. And surprisingly, people have been paying for the Substack for a local newspaper. So now I'm thinking of maybe selling that as a service to other newspapers if they want to go from WordPress to Substack, and they can raise money that way for their outfit. But I find it's useful. I also find it's a way for me to vet stories. A lot of newspapers right now are getting derided because they gave up endorsements, political endorsements. A lot of newspapers, including big ones like New York Times says they're only going to endorse certain races now. Washington Post is not endorsing president. LA Times, they're not doing endorsements, but also at the local level because we feel like we can't lose any more audience. Because if we endorse, people have become so thin-skinned. If we endorse one party a little bit more than the other, or even if we do a mix, let's say we did 4 Democrats, 4 Republicans, I bet we'd lose readers because the people would be so angry from both sides. So I could see the business perspective of not doing endorsements. So I haven't done them the first 4 years of owning the local paper. I was like, all right, we have to get our financial footing. can't afford to lose any. And we want to seem like we are being objective, which we are, you know, trying to be objective style of journalism. But Substack, because it's a platform that people are known to do opinions on, we can test the waters a little bit. And what I've been doing are a series of reader polls. I created an editorial board with the people that regularly write columns for us. So about 7 or 8 people who write for our paper on a regular basis have chimed in. So I have like an e-editorial board. And then I can also chime in too and write the narrative. So I can see, all right, you know, a certain number of people are on our Substack list, like one candidate over another for U.S. Congress. Ask the editorial board of the people that write for the paper. They're favoring a certain candidate. Then I have my own opinion. So now it's no longer just coming from one person. It's coming from a group effort. So the readers are also to blame if other people don't like the endorsement. Well, hey, the readers are also chiming in. It's not really a cop-out because I'm the one writing the narrative and the paper's taking the stance. But now we're able to bring back endorsements.
And obviously splitting up the papers is new. It's only been almost 5 issues now.
Yeah.
What does the future look like for the paper? Like, are you making enough money to really keep it going for a long time? Or is that the hope? Or do you want that?
Yeah, I don't know. I did, when I first moved to the region 15 years ago, I started a small paper in Schuylerville, New York, because I live on the border of Schuylerville, even though I'm technically in Greenwich. And I said, Schuylerville doesn't have a newspaper. Greenwich has a paper. Maybe Schuylerville can do one. So I started a little freebie paper. It only lasted 5 issues. The advertisers didn't come on. At the micro-local level, that is a major problem, is getting the advertisers. I think we have to rethink advertising for it. We did do a Chamber of Commerce special for the last issue and got about 6 or 7 ads. So, you know, they're not paying a lot, but, you know, will it ever get to the point where it's earning so much money that we could hire a paid full-time editor for the Salem Press? Probably not. I don't see that happening. But at the same time, in a lot of these communities in our area, Washington County, they are kind of bedroom communities, and there are a number of people willing to volunteer their time and their writing. Maybe they're at a point where they're 50, 60 years old. They had a whole career. They've always had the writing bug. They're pretty good at it. And me, as someone who, you know, teaches journalism and does journalism, I can vet them and make sure that they're staying on course and not going too far in any one direction, and teach them the basics of you know, being objective and such. So I think that it can exist as a volunteer entity. It doesn't cost that much more to do the Stop the Presses at this point in time. And maybe we'll get some regular advertisers in it, but so far not a lot with 5 issues. But we'll see. As long as the core group in Salem remains dedicated to it, it can keep going. And we'll see. You know, who would have known the Greenwich Journal would have lasted 5 years since it went out of business 5 years ago, and we revived it. So as long as the sweat equity is there of people willing to do the work, we can exist, I think.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WIMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.